Welcome to Be and Think in the House of Trust. My name is Servan, and my mission is to be a thinking partner to all people so you can tell one another and the planet you matter. In this show, I'm inviting you to share a moment with an inspiring leader who loves to invest in social and environmental change. My guest today is Anne Ravanona. She's a global gender equality advocate, an entrepreneur, a campaigner. She's also a fab public speaker too. What matters to Anne is her mission, and her mission is to get 1 million women entrepreneurs funded by 2030 and to help companies reach their gender equality targets. So let's dive in. Hello, Anne.
Hello, Servan. So lovely to be here.
Oh, I can hear some accents here.
Irish. I always put people at ease. So I'm Irish and half Spanish as well, but living in France for 30 years.
Oh, well, let's make it simple. Thanks for joining me, Anne. We met a long time ago. We've known each other for a while now. But thank you for taking the time to think with us all today. So you explained you were Irish, you have some Spanish as well in you. So if you had five other words maximum, that tells us more about who you are, Anne, which ones would you pick up?
Global, passionate, inspiring, dedicated, thought leader.
Oh, I'm so curious now. Well, I was before, but anyway, let's dive in. So you spoke at the United Nations, that's two other words, and you talked about two key ways you can change the world of funding for women in entrepreneurship with a method that you call Together We Can.
Yes.
Tell me more.
Together We Can. Like before going into the United Nations, I said, how am I going to arouse everybody, get people excited? And I said, we want to have something that's an easy idea to remember. So Together We Can is C-A-N, commit to act now. How can we all commit to act now? And my messages at the UN and just generally is we all actually have so much power in our hands than we think. So I'm very passionate about getting women entrepreneurs funded. That's my key goal, as you mentioned. And so the two ways that I said that we can do this to be Together We Can is one, buy from her. The best form of funding is a paying customer. And what I did was I took out my credit card and I said, you all have this in your pocket, go buy from her. But also, you know, consciously be a conscious consumer, know where you're getting your products from. A lot of people are interested in you know, being more sustainable and so on. But we could really reignite the global economy. We could solve more very important problems if fantastic women entrepreneurs were getting funded at the correct rates. So buy from her is a call to action that we can all do that. But it's not just for the consumer, it's also for corporates and governments. Because today, only 1% of government spending worldwide goes to women-owned businesses. 1%. And it's the same figure for corporate procurement, Savan. So we could sit and cry, or we say, well, look, 99% opportunity to grow that. So, and some countries have taken, they've made targets on corporate procurement, like the US has had a target for 5% for many years, and they've been hitting maybe two. They've only hit the 5% twice in the last 15 years. So we've a long way to go. So buy from her is a rallying call to the government, say, buy from her, because then you will create more jobs. You will help more entrepreneurs solve the pressing problems in your countries. And you can't leave half the world behind, very simply. That's from the government perspective. And for the corporates, the same thing. It's like, just do it. Just buy from us, buy from women entrepreneurs and make it easier for women entrepreneurs to be suppliers in your supply chain, because I always have a chat with them. It's very long, tedious process, and the company has the time to die before they get money from the company, you know, the big corporate. So it's an uphill battle. So buy from her is really, yeah, to the governments, to the corporates, and to us, the people. We, the people, yes, we can. Together, we can. Together, we can commit to act now. And that is being more thoughtful every day. And the other part of that was, so that was buy from her. And the other side was, of course, encourage more investment into funding women entrepreneurs. And that is, again, on a personal level, encouraging more people to become angel investors, invest their personal money. Why? Because we can unleash that capital much faster than through VC, because VC, again, dismal numbers, only 2% worldwide of global capital, VC capital, is going to women-only founded companies, 2%. That hasn't, you know, keeps getting worse and worse. When it comes to angel investment, 15% of angel investors in the UK are women, about 20% of angel investors in the US are women. So there's going to be huge wealth transfer as well, particularly in the US, 35 trillion is what they're estimating. So the time is now. We've huge opportunity, and together we can. Let's all commit to act now.
I really admire your enthusiasm, your dedication, your love for this campaign. And so we had that conversation, like, I mean, when we met in Barcelona. I remember the first your TEDx talk back then, Barcelona Women with Aurélie Salvaire, Shift Balance. Yeah. We had the same conversation. I don't want to, you know, to put us in sort of into morose mood here, but what's going on here, Anne?
Okay, so I would say things are getting better and things are getting worse.
Don't we love paradoxes?
All right, right. It is paradoxical. So how are they getting worse? Let's start there. Because when I started Global Investor in 2013, it was because I learned of the global credit gap between male and female entrepreneurs that was estimated by IFC World Bank at the time to be $300 billion. $300 billion in difference of money going to male and female entrepreneurs. And that made me angry. And that's what rallied me to do the work that I do. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to pre-COVID. So to 2019, that figure had gone to $1.7 trillion, Salvan. So we're going backwards in a very serious way. And it's hurting our world because we are not funding the solutions that can solve the important problems for the planet, because women see different problems and they solve them differently. And we tend to think much more in a community way and on the impact on what we're doing. So, yeah, things are not going well there. However, on what's going better, since I started 11 years ago, we're seeing the rise of many more funds that are founded by women VCs who got fed up being in the club with the guys and not raising the ranks and becoming general partner or managing partner, and said, I want to set up my own fund. So there's been a huge rise in funds that are dedicated to funding more women entrepreneurs, mainly in the US and Europe. We're seeing it in other parts sometimes, a few in Asia. So that's very encouraging. And we're talking more about it. Like when I started all of this 11 years ago, nobody was talking about funding women entrepreneurs. Nobody cared. And now the conversation is ripe. And the UK government are now planning on creating the biggest fund for funding women entrepreneurs. £250 million is what they have announced. Mm. So we also are seeing countries making national strategies on gender equality. So the USA has a national strategy on gender equality. So beyond just women in leadership, it's also about women in the supply chain and women in investing. And we're holding investors around the world more accountable. So what does that look like? Again, in the US, there are precursors to this. They have now in two states, in the state of California, and I know in Massachusetts going through, they've now built in laws that are requiring VC funds to be transparent about the gender side of things. So being transparent on which companies they're investing in and the percentage going to women, because it's opaque when it's hidden. The accountability goes out the door. It's okay. We can stay like this if we want. No, we can't. So I'm confident there is a shift. There's a seismic shift happening, because for many years, I spent a lot of my time doing the advocacy and the public speaking around raising awareness about the problem. Most people didn't even know there was such a big issue and a gap when it came to funding women entrepreneurs. Mm. So there's more awareness, which is great. There's more action. There are more actors in the scene. There's a little bit more accountability and still a lot of opportunity to do more.
Right. Okay. Mm. So we are living in the world of paradoxes. There is more awareness, a bit more action, a bit more funds being pulled together, although there are still more people named David than female fund managers, I suppose. But that's another story.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of assumptions I'm hearing as well that are hanging or that are not being challenged that makes people not invest or not think of investing in women because she's a woman or a Black woman or Black women from the Global South, etc. Right. So imagine you had a few specific people on the sofa around you in this house of trust, for instance. You know, you would seriously consider inviting to have a frank conversation with. They cannot get out of the room. What homework do you put them? What do you tell them? What do you challenge them?
Oh, thank God. I was hoping you wouldn't tell me who would I ask, because then I'd be like,
well, I might as well if you have any name. If you have any name, this is an opportunity to invite people. The gift of invitation, hospitality. We had Joy Anderson from Criterion Institute talking to us about that. Mm-hmm. Who would you invite? Yes, Anne.
No. I'll come back to that. I would like to kind of name and encourage. So the what would I say to them? That's first. I'd say, well, come on, guys and ladies, mainly the guys, because to your point, the majority of money is still in the hands of white men called Dave or John, right?
Oh, God.
And it's not okay. It's not okay. So we really, really need more male allies, not just allies, but actually opening up and paying and investing more in women. And there are some great guys who are doing it. But what I say is, like, first of all, hey, do you realize that when you invest in a woman-owned business, she's going to give you 35% higher return on investment? Mm. Okay? So women will actually make you more money with less money that you put in. And that's not a good thing. We want more money going to women, but that is the actual fact. So I would say to them, you're missing out on a huge opportunity by not diversifying your deal flow. And to your point, it is very important to say, looking at diverse founders and diverse women founders. And so absolutely, you're talking about rural women, you're talking about women from the people who identify as women from the LGBTQIA plus community, you're talking about just Black women, women of color, all different types of women who need fair access to funding. It's not about, I don't understand, I'm not even talking about equal access, because that's not going to happen anytime soon. So we need to go from 2% or silly 1% to fair access. Because why should you care? Like, first of all, if you've got women in your family, would it be okay if it was your daughter, your wife, your niece, who is a startup working to work on breast cancer, or working on endometriosis, or working on serving women who need to have cosmetic problem, you know, cosmetics to their skin color, who've been underserved for so many years, whatever it is. Would you be okay with them being discriminated against? Just not even before they walk in the room or open their mouth. Would you be okay? Would you be, if you were sitting in as a fly on the room, would you be okay? And would you accept that they'd be spoken down to, underestimated? Yeah, just even offered advice, ill advice. And so very often investors can, it's a power play, and they can ask ridiculous, unacceptable, unethical questions and say things. One venture capitalist that I spoke to this week, she was invited to an important meeting in Windsor Castle recently. And she wasn't supposed to speak, but some other speakers dropped out. And so the organizer says, can you come up and speak? And she said, that's fine. She has a fund and she's funding in a key part of the world that the other participants were from. And you know how he introduced her? He said, Mrs. So-and-so, she is our Barbie. She's our resident Barbie. So here we have our first Barbie. And and she said, it's like, I was like shocked. I said, he introduced you as a Barbie? And she said, yeah. And I said, what did you say? So the first thing she did was to clarify, said, first of all, I'm not a Barbie. She happens to be beautiful, blonde with long blonde hair. And the first thing he got out of his mouth was saying, here's our Barbie, to a VC. two dignitaries in the room, very high positioned. I was shocked. I said, oh my God, I wish you said, yes, Ken, what is it you're talking about? Like, I would have thrown it back in his face so fast, he wouldn't have known where. And I don't care if it was like a president, I would have said it to him, like, and it wasn't, but still unacceptable. So I would say to those people who are in that room and who have the power and say, you want to make money? If it's money that stimulates you, you can actually make more money if you invest in more diverse women, because they're huge underserved markets. The markets are crazy. For example, I was at an event recently in New York, the Beauty British Council, they had some fabulous women entrepreneurs speaking, and they gave the statistic. Did you know that the beauty industry in the UK is worth £25 billion? That's not a small industry. So, and of course, that's just one example of many. So I would say, huge opportunity, get your acting gear, because you know what? The pressure is coming. You're going to have more pressure from your LPs who invest in your funds for diversity. So you're going to have top-down pressure. Your LPs are going to say, hold on, what are your diversity metrics? Are you investing in more diverse founders? Are you making sure that their actual boards and their top team are diverse? Mm-hmm. So that is happening already. And bottom up, its founders are being more discerning. Now, I know it's still in the funding market. The funders currently have more power because of what's happening in the world. But there are more and more founders who are not accepting checks from anybody willy-nilly. They're like saying, no. I want someone like, if there has to be a very good values fit, and we want gender diversity. And the number of women founders, Savan, who say to me, I can't find women angels. I want more women. What I would say is, look, let's give ourselves a target that for any startups, like, can you say 30% of your investments will go to fund women founded or co-founded? So it doesn't have to be women only founders, because there's too few women only. Women co-founded teams, 30% of your portfolio. I would give them that target. And I would also say to the founders and to the investors who would be investing there, say, and give yourself a target that 30% of the investors be women too. That's how we shake it, because we need more women investors investing, whether they're angel, VC, private equity, family offices, whatever. So I give them a target. I give them an objective and say, let's do this. And then make it, then say, okay, are you willing to put your money where your mouth is? And let's make a commitment. Make a commitment. Let's make it public. And then let's see how you do. Just give yourself a target. And if you make some progress, great. And if you get stuck, that's okay. There's so many resources, so many great experts out there that can help you on this journey. But honestly, I know in Zoe, in one of your previous episodes, she was like saying, there are great movements like Me Too, Black Lives Matter, that have really pushed us forward, thank God. And it's just because the time is now, and we're fed up being squashed. Women entrepreneurs, we're fed up being overlooked, underestimated. Our time is now.
So I think that's a clear message. And you have more than just one sofa. You have global meetings happening every year. Can you tell us more about that tradition you've set up around the Global Investor Summit in Dublin?
Since last year, I wanted to do more, Savan. I said, okay, how can we serve more? Because we started by doing lots of education for women entrepreneurs. Then we pivoted to creating two tools, a global directory of founders where the funders can find them, and where company can buy from her. So you can see her, find her funder, buy from her on the founder directory, on the funder one. The women can do their investor research to find women founder friendly sources of funding there. So that wasn't enough. And last year I said, okay, we need to do more. So we had our very first Investor Summit in Paris. This year's in Dublin. It's an annual event. And the whole objective, I can't say it's more than a summit, it's a movement. It is about bringing together policy shapers, corporates, women entrepreneurs, funders. And notice I don't say investors, I say funders, because it's all different sources of funding, right? And the funding ecosystem players. So we have a formula, if you will, in the summit, because we bring people together to unite them under this together we can. How can we commit to act now? And so some of the organizations make public commitments. So last year we had 15 organizations make commitments on what they're going to do to invest in more women, including UNESCO, OECD, World Bank, Portfolio, How and Invest, and Dell and EY. It was great, but we need more, right? So, and what we do is, I love by saying our formula is, it's not a blah, blah summit. It's an action summit. Mm-hmm. So by showcasing kick-ass women entrepreneurs and kick-ass investors investing in them from different sectors, showcasing what's happening in policy on women entrepreneurship at a global level, we need to know that because that's what's shaping our ecosystem. So we need to know from the top down what's happening in the ecosystem. Then what's happening on government and corporate procurement? What's happening in the corporates and the private sector? Because it has to be a public-private partnership to move the needle forward and to unleash more innovation. And then we have action workshops where people can go deeper. What makes it very special is it is about a global community. It is about a movement. And we had, every year we have a global pitch competition. If you're listening to it now, it's open and you'll see for next year too. So apply now if you're a great kick-ass woman entrepreneur. We want to hear from you.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's how can we do more? So we were focusing a lot on access to funding and a little bit on access to markets through corporate and public procurement. Now this year we're going further. So we want how, because the best form of funding is a paying customer, right? Mm-hmm. So great, we need to have the equity funding, but we can also do that through customers. And so we're working more on access to markets. So we're going to have a marketplace. So there'll be 20 women entrepreneurs who are physically there to showcase their products or services, but an online marketplace as well. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, we are working on trade missions. So some countries, there are people coming because they want to see, if they want to set up the European base in Ireland, how can I do that? If I want to use Ireland to access the EU market, how can I do that in an intelligent way? And not only that, how can I do business, Irish women entrepreneurs with women entrepreneurs from other sides of the world? So access to markets bilaterally. Right. So that's much more than just, it's not a blah, blah, come sit in the in sit and listen. This is like, how, let's do business. And like we had some concrete results last year. We had 6 winners of the global pitch competition. We had 108 entries from 27 countries. So this year, I know it's going to be even more than that. Mm-hmm. And of the 6 winners, one went on to raise a 1 million pre-seed round. Another went on to raise 3.5 million pre-series A round. The third got some contracts and business thanks to meeting people at the summit and was part of a presidential trade mission to Brazil. He only took with President Macron, he only took 5 entrepreneurs. She was the only woman. Not bad. So it just shows that we had some investors who invested in other funds from there. It's incredible. Some of the speakers got to speak in other events from other people. That's what we're talking about. But the key thing is we use this summit as the gathering place to bring together once a year all these incredible people. And then throughout the year, we have virtual meetups and city meetups. We're doing that now in different cities around the world to make it go bigger. My call to action is if you care about funding women entrepreneurs, join us. Come and join us, not necessarily just at this summit. This is beyond that. It's joining the movement. And that's why it is a timeless thing, message I'm saying. Join this because we truly believe that women entrepreneurs are the biggest untapped resource in the world. That we deserve fair access to funding and market access and opportunity. It's not a nice thing to do. It just makes business sense and it makes sense for our planet because we are creating and solving solutions for the planet. And the sector focuses that we showcase at the summit are all linked to the SDGs because, and I have my, if you're watching me live, you'll see I have my SDG goals. I have everything here in front of me. I have my mug on gender equality on my desk. Like we are, I have, Servan is laughing. I have my bottle with the SDGs.
It's great. Like, it's great. Oh. It's better than a BBC studio. You can only make mugs there. But so listen, what I'm hearing is that people better put their comfortable walking shoes here with when they come and meet you all and gather and convene with you because they're not going to sit idle on their chairs and it's going to be meeting, talking, acting, walking around. Now,
and also one thing that's different mm-hmm. is that I'm super proud of is that we have certain things happening before the summit and after where we give business to women-owned businesses. For example, our conference organizer is a woman-owned business. We are organizing an investor lunch, a funder lunch in a restaurant owned by a woman chef who's like in the Michelin guide. And all of her producers are women.
Yeah.
Then after the summit, we're going to have some post-summit tours around Ireland and Dublin, all with women-owned businesses. So, like, we're serious about what we do. And, you know, we have the support of the Irish Trade Tourism Body because, and when I spoke to them and they did the bid for bringing the summit to Ireland, I said, yeah, but I want to work with your Irish suppliers. Give me the list of Irish company, women-owned companies that can help me. And they didn't have it. And they said, we don't know. So I've actually helped them and pushed them forward. So now they're building a list of women-owned suppliers. And guess what? Through this is what we're talking about, the power of actually doing business. Mm-hmm. This is the whole point, mm-hmm. is we're organizing meeting special events in Belfast to do things in Northern Ireland for our Northern Ireland sisters so that they come to the summit. So in Belfast, we will have events on the 17th of June. Well, anyway, we'll have one day for events. And guess what happened? When I was organizing that, one of the women entrepreneurs, she's a serial entrepreneur and a woman investor. I said to her, I said, we're going to have this funder launch and this woman-owned chef. And she says, oh, well, I have, my business is Wagyu beef. I have 2,000 head of beef in Northern Ireland and I supply. And I told them that she has women suppliers. It's just, oh, well, maybe. And I said, okay. I said, no problem. After the call, I connected both of them. The chef said to me, Anne, we're organizing a big event and we need Wagyu beef. Within 24 hours, the woman founder who does the Wagyu, her beef was on the menu and being cooked in that chef's restaurant.
Oh.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Action. It's not blah, blah. It's action. It's concrete.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
That's
now,
what we do.
How can people find you and connect with you, Anne?
Through, if you're interested in everything we do, check out our two websites. One is investhersummit.com, mm-hmm. when it's around summit time. And in general, globalinvesther.com.
Okay.
So they're the two best places. And of course, on my LinkedIn and all our LinkedIns, you'll get us there.
Yeah,
too.
We're camping on LinkedIn, don't we? Yeah.
Yes.
Now, just to close our time together, Anne, I wonder briefly, what is the question that you want to reflect on in the coming year for yourself?
Oh, that's a good question. Honestly, it's like, how can we have more impact faster?
Wait. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Anne. And I wish you all the best with this question, because that's a big one. That's a how-to question, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're going to find wonderful people around in before, during, and after the summit, and all the road shows that you're organizing that's going to think with you and do and act with you.
My tagline is community is capital. Community is capital. We can do all this through community, and it's capital because it's super important. That's what it means. And so if we bring together the communities, that capital can move. So it's super important. So community is capital. Join us.
Thank you. That's a lovely thought to take away from our time together. Thank you. So this is it for this episode of Be and Think in the House of Trust. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. And I wonder who you would like to have on your sofa and ask these kind of questions and have the discussions and challenge that matter to you. So which question would you dare to ask yourself as well and explore in the coming months? I'm so curious. So I look forward to meeting you again in the House of Trust for our next show. This series, as you know, is available wherever you love to listen to your podcast. Check the previous episodes. Along with today's episode, you're going to find a lot of questions, observations from guests that will help you navigate the mental models we need to collectively and individually ignite positive social and environmental change. Connect with me through servanmoisin.co.uk and get regular conscious innovation updates too. Bye for now. Stay connected.